Hour number two of Overtime, Fan Run Radio, presented by Julia Hurley with Realty Executives. Give her a call today at 865-237-7328. Tell her the crew from Overtime sent you. I want your all's predictions for the college football playoff and how the rankings are going to go tomorrow night.
You want top four or top six?
Give me your top six.
You want honest?
Honest.
Honest?
Yeah.
Honest and then what it should be.
We can be honest here. Yeah, let's be honest. All right, Georgia won.
Yeah. Yep, Georgia won.
Across the board, Georgia?
Yes.
Michigan will be two.
Across the board, yes.
Yep.
TCU will be three.
Across the board, yes.
Yes.
USC will be four.
Yes.
Across the board, yes.
Ohio State will be five.
Yeah, they're going to put Ohio State
That's honest.
Five.
I don't agree with it, but that's honest. That's how it's going to be.
That's how it's going to be.
Yep.
And then Bama will be six.
And we'll be seven.
And we'll be at seven, yep.
Yep. And then Penn State will be eight.
I want to have faith and say that the committee's going to do the right thing.
I don't have any faith on that.
They won't. It's just typical Bama privilege, man. They're not going to let Alabama. At any chance they get, they're going to give them the opportunity.
Looking at the number three team? Or what are they? No, they're the number two team, the SEC West. Ole Miss lost.
Yes, yes.
It's an absolute joke.
Yes, but hey, man, do you think they give Bama a little more privilege and put them at five?
If that happened, I would lose my mind.
No, they're not going to do that. Because even though Ohio State lost, they still only have one loss. Bama has two.
Yep.
But to the committee, I feel like I could see that happening, but I just don't think they'll be that bold that soon. You know what I mean? They can try to slide them in
after
championship weekend, but they're not going to be that bold to put them at five.
You know, they could have picked a better picture to put up there if Hugh Freeze. It looks like he's missing his two front teeth in this picture.
Just look at these two guys on TV.
Yeah, these aren't the greatest looking guys either.
But, I mean,
a couple of showers need to be taken.
More than a couple.
Anyway. All right, back to the college football playoff talk. Anyway. So, I mean, everything that we have said, when you look at strength of record, strength of schedule, head-to-head matchups, and common opponents, Tennessee has the edge over Alabama.
Would you say we have the edge over Ohio State?
I would say we do because strength of schedule, strength of rank.
Ohio State's best win is Penn State.
Well, they got beat by, 22 this weekend?
Yeah.
They did.
We lost by 25, but...
They lost by 22 at home as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the road at night. I mean, we can hype up Williams-Brice for our own agenda. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, did I say the week leading up to that? Weird stuff just happens down there. Weird stuff happens.
Davis said the same thing. Davis been saying that. He said it before the time came out in the summer. He said if we go down to South Carolina
I said, we play South Carolina night, loss.
Yep. He said this in August.
And then when I saw the time come out, I was like, yep, loss.
Oh, man. Yeah. Man, everything they say matters until it's however they want to fit the agenda.
Yeah,
you can just flip that. You can switch it and make your own agenda from week to week if you're ESPN.
Because apparently this is not going to be a blowout loss for Ohio State at Michigan.
No.
But it's a blowout loss when we lose by 14 at Georgia in the rain.
Yeah, just like when we lose by 14 to Georgia and Oregon loses by 49.
Six.
46. Sorry, I thought it was 52-3. My mm-hmm. bad. That's not a blowout loss.
They're going to say it was a noon game, and Ohio State started out slow because they –
Yeah, they weren't used to the time. They used to practicing at the afternoon.
Yeah, they were missing some sleep the night before.
Yeah, but how many times have they played the big noon kickoff this year?
A million.
They'll still use it.
Yeah, they'll still use the agenda.
It's we can switch the agenda over here a little bit, but ESPN, the biggest sports network in the world – there's a lot to do whatever they want, man.
I mean, the biggest, but obviously not the smartest. That's like that Sam Block guy.
Oh, my God. That guy was in shambles.
Oh, he was deleting tweets and everything on Saturday. I got attacked on Twitter.
Who is this guy?
Sam Block. He's
just look him up, man.
He's just look him up.
Some guy got pissed at you Saturday. What was it?
I was like, they're down. They're down bad. Really, really bad. And then the guy quote tweets – or replies to me quote tweeting him, and he's like, I will kick your ass. And then I can't repeat some of the comments, but there were some really
I was in the car and I was asleep and we're on the way back from the beach and I woke up and I was scrolling the Twitter. I see that. I was like, so confused. And then
I responded to him.
Yeah,
I'm cringe. Proud of you, Matthew.
Yeah, cringe. But all you gotta do in that situation, man, just take a screenshot of their profile, reply to it. Whatever it is, probably embarrassing.
Oh, it very much was. It very much.
I saw that tweet and I was like, I know what to do to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ratio.
Yeah, that's what we did. Let's get back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Daniel is next. What do you say, Daniel?
How y'all doing this evening?
Pretty good.
Now, you dropped a bit of knowledge. You dropped a bit of news earlier. Now, would that have succeeded the Wells era in Campbell County history?
No, that would have been the predecessor to it, actually.
Oh. Wow. Could have changed the trajectory.
Yeah, so all the blame for the South Carolina loss now goes to Jim Pierce.
Wow. Let's just say Campbell County Athletics were not in their heyday at that time.
No, I mean, you call it like it is, Daniel. If he'd have taken that job at that time, he probably would have never coached again.
I mean,
let's call it like it is, man.
Call a spade a spade a spade, and there ain't no way
to work again.
No, he would have never had another job in college football at all. His GA job at Tennessee would have been his last college job.
Oh my God! Could you? Oh man! I mean, that blows my mind. You're gonna have to off air. You're gonna have to give me that bit of information. That's frankly incredible.
It really is, and you know, apparently Fulmer wrote him a letter of recommendation as well.
I mean, and I'm sure he would have done a fantastic job at this level.
Beamer ball on the hill. I would have loved it.
Fulmer wrote him a letter of recommendation, and he still didn't get the job.
Dude, you got to understand what you're dealing with here.
Man, you don't have any idea. Come and let us educate you.
Guess I got to make the trip because, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Oh.
Hey, we will baptize the young brother.
Oh, we can go through all of it and some implications that it had on we'll get into that off air. We'll get into
me and a few other Campbell Countyans went to the game this weekend, and we were telling some peak Campbell County stories on the way down, and they were just, I mean, you just can't make them up, buddy. You just cannot make them up.
Have you ever heard the story about me jumping out in front of the Halls basketball team wearing a Speedo?
Oh, God.
I'll send you the video. Oh, man. Actually, no, you probably don't want to see that. America does not need to see that anymore.
It needs to stay in the archives, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, segueing into this year, we're going to hear a lot about this and a lot about that, a lot about the South Carolina, a lot about this, a lot of, you know, the playoffs, this, the playoffs, that. Guys, we win 10 games in year two, and we beat Alabama and Florida in year two. I mean, you ain't going to hear a negative thing out of my mouth. You're not. If Joe Milton's our quarterback next year, you know, I don't know. I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. But right now, we won 10 regular season games, and there's still a chance we get to the Sugar Bowl. And I'll say this much, head-to-head games should matter, college football playoffs.
Absolutely.
Head-to-head games should matter.
Absolutely, and I don't know, you know, like we were just talking about, it depends on what narrative they want to push. That's what ESPN does. That's what all your major news outlets do, not just in sports, but CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, when you get kicked off the ladder at NBC. I mean, they control their own narrative. Whatever they want to push, that's what they're going to throw at you.
And the major narrative we haven't talked about yet is they're going to throw that we don't have Hooker out there. It's for the reason that we're going to be behind Alabama.
That's it. Listen, they had no other – they had to put us at number one, right, initially. They're – 3 weeks ago. Was it 3 weeks ago? I don't even remember. It felt like a month.
Yeah. 4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to put us at number one 4 weeks ago. They had to, right? They had to. But now that's not so much the case. Now things have changed. They are not going to give us. They're not going to give it to us. But I do have faith. I just have faith that, you know, everything's going to work itself out when it comes to the bowl system. I would love to go to the Orange Bowl and play Dabo Sweeney and the boys down there at the fake Orange Clemson Tigers. bring them on. But you're just not going to hear a negative word out of me in this season. I thought we were going to go 8-4, and we didn't. We went 10-2. So, you know, and then when football's over with, football's not over with, because like you all said, we got coaching carousel, and we got all of this turnover, and I believe we're going to get a lot of key spots filled. I think they're going to go pretty aggressive in the transfer portal, and we might lose some, but I think we're going to gain some too. Y'all have a good night, and go Vols.
Appreciate the phone call, Daniel. Yeah, I got to take y'all down that rabbit hole when we get a break.
The Campbell County rabbit hole?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, I'll ask you about it on break.
I'm pretty intrigued.
Oh, buddy.
Is it like Ohio?
Yeah, is it like the state of Ohio?
Buddy.
In a high school?
You have no idea about what I'm about to tell you in this break.
Yeah, I mean, me and Davis were the same high school. I mean, we didn't have that much of a dysfunctional high school.
Well, I mean, it's much like the University of Tennessee. Once they got an athletic director that actually cared about winning, that actually cared about the kids and not making it all about them and people that they knew and their buddies, things turned around.
Can I ask, how did y'all feel watching Heupel give that? Just how, what were your feelings when the buzzer went off Saturday night?
Well, I was happy that we covered the spread, but that's, I don't know. And the reason I say that is because I wanted to be happy. I wanted.
Just kidding.
That's the thing, man, is, yes, our expectations going into the year, I think we all were around the 9-3, 10-2 mark. So we met our own expectations. However, as the season progresses, your expectations change. If things take a downturn and you are at the end of October and you're 2-6, it's like, well, let's get to 5, maybe 6, depending on how tough your schedule is in the month of November. When you're, what were we, 9-1?
Yep.
Going into South Carolina?
Yep.
You expect to finish the season 11-1, and you expect to be either in Atlanta or playing at a chance for a college football playoff appearance. And that didn't happen. So a part of me was like, okay, this is a good bounce back win.
Yeah.
But on the same token, I'm sitting there, it's like, you know, we really lost to a team that we were better than last week. And we completely ruined what could have been, what was already going to be a great season. We ruined a magical season.
I was gutted. I'm not going to lie. I think Heupel was too. I think he was kind of disappointed also. I mean, great win, don't get me wrong, but where was that last week?
I think that's kind of the mindset that he had as well.
We play that way last week, we're blowing South Carolina out. Like, not even close. And just to let some small – gosh, man. Because you saw the difference with Jeremy Banks. I mean, he was flying around. He played great Saturday night. And it's just like, what – I just still want to know what happened. Give me the real story. We won't know now, but probably 10 years from now we'll know.
Shy Tuttle fell on a helmet, and that's the truth.
Sure, yeah. That's what we're telling people.
We know what happened. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Radio Overtime continues. I haven't even asked you guys. How was your Thanksgiving? And both of you all start laughing.
Mine was interesting, to say the least. How was yours?
Well, obviously everyone knows I live in north part of Knox County. I wake up. I'm expecting to go down to Sweetwater to meet my brother and my dad at my great aunt and uncle's for Thanksgiving lunch. Well, my brother was supposed to ride back with me. That way we could go to my grandparents. He does not tell me that he's not coming until I pass Turkey Creek, headed down to Sweetwater. So I go down there, and I'm expecting everybody to be there. No, I'm the first one there. I beat everybody there.
I got a question for y'all three. Maybe even the callers can answer this, but what time do you usually eat on Thanksgiving?
I eat once at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, then I eat again at about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's probably about, it's like around 4.
What about you, man? About same four. Thing, 4?
Yeah, yeah, about 4. I mean, you start cooking around noon. You may start sooner, but you can go about 4.
Well, I think we made a mistake of saying we're going to eat at 1 o'clock.
You ate at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, 1 o'clock, man. I don't know if that's normal or what, because like growing up, we would go to my mom's side of the family. They live in Clarksville, so we would eat at like 2 o'clock there. Then my dad's side of the family lived in Nashville, so we would drive over after that and eat at night. So I'd eat like twice. But, yeah, I don't know. 1 o'clock, I just feel like that was weird. I don't know if I'm like, if that's normal or what, but. I mean, I was barely even awake.
I was going to say, did you just roll out of bed at 12:59?
Yeah, dude, I was 12:15. Told them to come at 1. It's 12:15. I'm slumped. And all of a sudden, I just hear all these, like, just little kids, just people, where's Davis? I'm like, God forbid we catch some Z's around here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Christmas is kind of, Christmas is more like you sometimes eat around.
You always eat I thought you always eat dinner, Christmas dinner.
You do eat Christmas dinner, but since my parents are divorced, I would do lunch and I would do dinner.
Yeah, well.
With one side and the other dinner.
Did you have any dishes that stood out that were far superior?
Baked potato casserole.
It's a very good one.
And just Sister Schubert's rolls. I had about 10 of those.
Yep. He probably had the whole pack to himself.
I mean, those are good, man.
I don't even like deviled eggs, but there was like about 24 of them like on a big pan. And by the time I got there, there was only one left. And this one lady, she'll remain nameless because I don't want to slander her on air, but she had about yes. She had about 10 on her plate.
Ooh. Before we get into any more bad stuff, I want to give a quick shout-out to my Aunt Paula. The broccoli casserole. Man, that might have been the best side dish I've ever had at Thanksgiving.
Broccoli casserole?
Oh, like the broccoli, the cheese, the Ritz crackers mixed into it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's broccoli, cheese, and crack. What else is in there?
I don't know, but it was good. That's all I know is it was good.
I'm not a big sweet potato casserole. I'm not a big green bean casserole guy.
No.
I mean, I'm just standard. Give me the turkey. Give me the mashed potatoes. Give me some gravy, mac and cheese.
Well, I gotta say something real quick to my mother. So she gets a bag of frozen corn out of the deep freeze, right?
Yeah.
So this is at my second Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
At my grandmother's. I took a whiff of it, and I'm like, oh, I'm not eating that. That smells fermented.
Nice.
And my uncle, he gets a little bite of it on his plate, and he stands up for a second. He's like, what? How long have you had this corn? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm just like, come out of that bag. Probably about 4 to 5 years old.
That's all right. I found some hot chocolate one time in my old house from 2003. And this was about 2015. So
how'd it taste?
Don't know. Not I mean, killing myself.
In his house, I've seen stuff from at least 2008.
I mean, do we have ketchup in there that is brown? Literally brown. Just in the back of the pantry.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just a standard, just turkey. I don't know, man. I'm not big on the dishes. Like, I don't need pumpkin pie, pecan pie.
No, I got to have a pumpkin pie.
I will say, we're all pretty young here, so, like, we're attached to our phones, and they're a necessity. But having it up like this, just right in your face, with earbuds in, scrolling through TikTok while at the Thanksgiving table.
That's terrible.
Just so disrespectful.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm glad I didn't see much of. Nobody was really on their phones that much. At our family Thanksgiving.
Oh, the worst than that is when they have an iPad that's like sitting there.
Well, if it's
on
a little kid, man, if it's like a 5-year-old, I mean, it's not big of a deal, but a 3-year-old.
Yeah, but that's all they're going to do for the rest of their life.
That's all they're going to do. Yeah.
It's like the kid starts acting up, parent takes the iPad, puts it right in front of their face. Here, watch this.
I feel like that's a new trend. I haven't not seen a young, because there's two girls on the Thanksgiving. They're about 7 and 9, and they both have iPads and like. They took it from them during the meal, and they were fine. Then afterwards, they gave it to him. But then once they gave it to him, they're just.
How old was the person that had the earbuds in? Well, earbuds.
Oh, I think 19.
I just sat there scrolling the whole.
Yeah, we went out to eat Thursday. We ate there, and then Friday night we went out to eat. And both times, he just had his phone scrolling through TikTok, had some earbuds in. I'm just like, I'm sitting from like where me and Jake are now, and I'm just like, what am I supposed to say to this dude? He just doesn't even know where we are.
That is quite crazy.
Weird.
It's very weirdo. It's very disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the worst.
So, big anime guy, if you can picture that.
Ah, okay.
That explains it a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can have your phone at the table, but, I mean.
Just go under the table, man. Yeah, be slick.
Oh, just go to the bathroom if you, like, need it. If you need to take a phone call, go outside. Do so. I mean, spend time with your family on Thanksgiving.
They got on my nerves, man. 8 hours, enough.
Eight hours.
That's why you'll meet with them once a year.
Well, there's this dog, man. Like, oh, gosh. This dog was just very annoying. Not trained at all. Ever since my, yeah. I won't go into the details. But, yeah, the dog just, all of a sudden, he's just terrible. He climbs up on you while you're eating, gnawing at you, trying to knock a food out of your hand, off the table. It's, like, ridiculous. Control your dog.
Control your dogs. Control your kids. That's Davis's takeaway from Thanksgiving.
It's a great inside joke.
Yeah. one point, I was sitting there. We're in there. We just got Whataburger. And we're chilling at the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I had Whataburger. Let's see.
Probably six times.
Twice on the way back. Six times in 3 days.
Yep. Like I said, six times.
Yep. Smacks.
Yeah. Did you have, I don't know, we had like neighbors come over after Thanksgiving. Do you ever do that, Jake?
No, we usually, my grandmother's neighbors, we have a little exchange of Christmas gifts every year.
Gotcha.
Once at Christmas. Luckily at mom's house, we don't have neighbors.
Nice.
So
nice. That's probably peaceful.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, we got all the land to ourselves, all the acres. It's like everyone just parks. Wherever they want to park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ever had anybody get stuck in your yard before?
Yes.
It's happened to me multiple times.
Oh, you talking about the divots?
Yep.
Yep.
That's somebody else's problem now.
Yep.
Oh, nothing better than it being a snowstorm and people just start parking, like, in our driveway.
Ah.
Dude. Dad's kind of short-tempered on a few things. Some things just really grind his gears. He goes outside. I'm not going to repeat exactly what he said. But it was to the tune of, y'all need to get out of my yard. I'm not running a damn parking service.
Did your glass ever get fixed, Davis?
I had about 10 expletives.
No, man.
Into that statement.
No, it didn't get fixed. Some moron decides to park there in a monsoon. And there's clear. Just park in the driveway, man. Yep. Nah,
just tire marks.
Oh, yeah. Like a foot deep. Like we had to, like, I think we had to, what, we had to push his car or tow his car out?
Push his car. Because we lived out kind of in the country, but. I mean, that's where Jaw lives now, but.
We're at Piperton?
No.
No, Eads.
Ah.
Yeah. I mean.
Smelled Jaw's ganja across the neighborhood.
I mean, Davis had a big enough driveway to where everyone fit, so.
Yeah, it was interesting out there. You also had. That's where a lot of them live now. Kyle lived there. Melton lived there. Jaw lives there now.
His dad lives there next to him.
They used to live together. Now they have two houses next door to each other.
Yep.
I was driving through there. I was down there for Christmas in 2017. A lot of good Christmas decorations around that area between there and Collierville.
Well, yeah. They take it a little overboard.
The square gets it a lot. Same with Germantown.
Yeah. My favorite was the someone did a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation theme, and they actually had an entire inflatable RV with Cousin Eddie standing outside of it. You all look like you have no clue what I'm talking about.
I know the movie. I've never seen it, though.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Don't send me the DVD because I will not watch it.
show me where I can watch it on my phone. I may or may not watch it.
Amazon Prime. It's the best Christmas movie that you can watch year-round.
I'm not paying for it.
I don't have time right now. Yeah. School is absolutely kicking my ass.
I'll watch that on Christmas break, which starts December 15th.
Yep, for me.
Yep, same for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to call your people. I'm going to make sure that you watch it. I'm going to find out who your people are, and I'm going to make sure that you watch it.
Good luck.
You are going to stay with us because we're going to take a quick timeout. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
So you watch Christmas. All I really want for Christmas. All I really want for Christmas. Is everything on my list, baby? Hey. All I really want for Christmas. All I really want for Christmas. All I really want for Christmas.
Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Well, we had the third segment this hour.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Thoughts on Hugh Freeze?
Well, you know, you're seeing some backlash because of what happened at Ole Miss and, you know, of course, the whole prostitution thing and all that. Well, people were comparing it to Greg Schiano.
It's not even close. Not at all.
Nowhere, not even in the ballpark. And one of the things I think that helps Hugh Freeze's case in this is he's actually a good football coach.
Yep.
Like, that's the thing. He might not ever win a national title at Auburn, but he's at least going to keep them competitive.
I think he has a shot.
He has the one thing that Auburn fans want.
Beats Alabama.
Yep.
That's all that Auburn cares about, man.
And all these fans that didn't want him hired, like, when he beats Alabama, they will all shut up.
That's the thing, man.
It's all about winning.
And, you know, when you talk about, you know, the whole Schiano Sunday thing, which, by the way, the 5-year anniversary of that was this past Saturday.
I saw that.
And one of the things I did on Saturday, you guys are going to either think I'm weird or whatever it may be, but I listened to the entire broadcast from 10 a.m. until, I think, about 6. I played Call of Duty and listened to that all day.
I do that, too. It's not weird at all. I've listened to the Schiano podcast a few times. I haven't gotten all through all 7 hours of it again, but I think that was how I first discovered this station. I know plenty of people did that day, but
you know, there's a lot of people that discovered Fan Run at the time. You know, we were going by the Fox Sports Knoxville thing. We still are Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio, but a lot of people found us that way.
I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing. I remember I was at Canale's grocery store meeting my dad to go play golf. And I was listening to Houston and Russell on the app. Oh, Bear was here too. I just remember Houston and Russell, and then played for about 2 hours, and then come back. They're still talking about it, but like that was
after they pretty much squashed it by that point.
Yeah, well, this was right when like Greg McElroy and people were trying to defend it, saying that like UT fans won't like it, but Greg Schiano is a great defensive mind and all this crap. Like that's not. Although he was a crappy football coach, that's not why we didn't want him hired.
No, I mean, the backstory and everything that had just come out, you know, that was the biggest factor in as to why we were reacting the way we were. And it was so fresh and, you know, something else to think about. Why would Mike McQuarrie lie about that? Why would he lie under oath about that? Just to lie. He wouldn't. And, you know, we got a lot of heat that day from a lot of people in the national media and, you know, even some local business owners. And one even ended up giving away his franchise to one of his local bars in town because of that. Because he reacted as in like, I hope that Tennessee never wins another game. And you can imagine how business went after that.
No one showed up.
Moronic statement.
Yep.
But my favorite thing about that day, because we all knew what was about to happen around 11 o'clock that day, right? 11 o'clock that morning, everyone starts seeing the reports. That's when Russ and all them, they finally, you know, were like, yeah, we got to do an emergency broadcast. So they did. 4:53 p.m. State Run Jimmy. A great source has just informed me that Tennessee is about to hire Greg Schiano. First reply, New Market Mahler. What? President Reagan got shot? What?
I thought it was Jeff Brom, right?
No, that was a few days later.
Yeah, it was a joke, man. I know.
Oh, man.
That might have been his roughest week. I don't think he's been taken seriously since that day.
He's not. Like, that's the thing about it. Now, of course, you know, here we are today, and had Russell, Bear, Houston, and then Nate came in later that day, had they not done that, we would not be where we are today. We had to go through 3 years of crappy football with Jeremy Pruitt. But
still would do it.
How that day and what they did have affected what UT football is now. I mean, I think it speaks volumes to it.
How bad do you think Schiano would have been here?
He wouldn't have done any better than Jeremy Pruitt.
I mean, he may have squeaked out a 6-1 season, maybe 7, but I mean,
the thing is, he wasn't a good coach.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Like, why was he? I know we had a terrible search up to that point, but like,
well, the thing is, like, Dan Mullen was about to take the job.
Yeah, he was.
Like, Dan Mullen was not even, I think he was maybe what, a day away, and then Florida called.
Well, he said before the Egg Bowl, because that was when DK Metcalf did the dog peeing on the hot fire hydrant that night. But he said that the night of the Egg Bowl, like, he was about to take the job with Tennessee, and then he was ready to sign the contract Saturday. And then, what's his name? Scott Strickland called from Florida, and then that just changed everything.
Yeah, Florida got their athletic director and their football coach. And, you know, he was off the list. You know, I think Matt Campbell was on the list as well, and then we tried to go after Mike Gundy for a second or third time, and
used us again
To negotiate his own contract.
And the thing is, like, we never even talked to Jeff Brom. That's the one thing about that day, or about that coaching search, that I still don't understand. We never talked to Jeff Brom.
Don't forget about Kevin Sumlin, Dave Doran, Mike Leach.
He ghosted Dave Doran. Like, Dave Dorn was ready to accept the job, and he ghosted him once he started gauging the reaction on Twitter.
Thank God he did.
And then Mike Leach was going to be our coach.
Yep. I've said that story before, but I woke up, went to bed thinking Mike Leach was our coach, woke up, bragging. I was like, oh, Mike Leach, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, you haven't checked your phone today, have you? What are you talking about? Check my phone. John Curry fired. Beverly Davenport fired.
Oh. She got fired later. A couple months later.
Oh, same thing.
But, I mean, that was what was so weird about that is we'll never know. But something that I've asked myself ever since that, if Beverly Davenport doesn't tell John Curry to get on the plane and come home and he hires Mike Leach, is all forgiven?
I mean, he did hire Vitello.
I mean,
and Mike Leach has never had a good job. He's had Washington State, Texas Tech, Mississippi State, all bottom feeders in their conferences.
Yeah.
I mean, they all do good with Mike Leach, but they don't ever get over the hump.
Yeah, because they're bottom feeders. They don't have the facilities, the money, anything.
Well, he's not getting 4- and 5-star guys. He won, I think he finished in the top 10 at Washington State with 3 stars.
Yeah, I mean, he
2 and 3 stars.
Yeah, I think he got up to number 6, number 5 in the nation at one point in Washington State. Then they lose the next week.
He got up to number 1 at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Have you seen the aerial view of Washington State? It's just the campus, the trees everywhere. Like, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Cold. I mean, how can you recruit to that?
You can't.
JG loved it.
I'm sure he did. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Guys, if you are looking for a new career, check out my guys at Knox Out Contracting. Check out on Facebook. They will hook you up. No 2 days are ever the same. You get to work with the best tools in the industry. It's Knox Out Contracting. Check them out on Facebook. Tell them Jake from Fan Run sent you. Oh, man, they are all about this Hugh Freeze to Auburn stuff right here on the SEC Network.
I mean, that's the only thing they really talked about for the last hour.
I love the hire. I think that should have been our list. Although we had NCAA,
well, Jimmy Pruitt tried to hire him.
Yeah, he did. So did Saban.
Yeah.
So, I give Pruitt props for that.
Do you think the SEC saw that Auburn and Alabama is such a money grab that it's like, okay, we can't let Tennessee do it. We can't let Alabama do it because they'll just be more dominant. They love that Alabama-Auburn rivalry.
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you think they were finally like, okay, this is a guy that can actually make Auburn competitive because they're a big money market as well?
Well, I thought about this in the car on the way here. If we had been able to hire Hugh Freeze, offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. I mean, Pruitt would have blown up in his face eventually, and maybe Hugh Freeze is our coach right now.
They want another kick six. They want memorable Iron Bowl games. I mean, I watched the Iron Bowl on Saturday.
They want another Cam Newton game. Yeah. They want another kick six. Yeah. They want the Bo Nix game. They want all that.
I mean, and since Saban's been in Alabama, the team that's beaten him the most is Auburn and Hugh Freeze, and now you've combined the two.
I think Auburn has, what, 6 wins against Saban? 6 or 5.
Sounds right. Yeah. I mean, it used to be like every other year they would beat Alabama, but the past few years that hasn't happened.
The thing is, that series is let's call it like it is. It's one of the greatest rivalries in all college football.
And it doesn't matter if Auburn's – I mean, Saturday, they fought. I mean, you can't deny that they didn't try.
I mean, look at last year.
Like, it doesn't matter if – yeah, like last year, it doesn't matter if they're 6-5, 1-11, or 1-10, 0-11. Like, they're going to give Alabama a fight.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And, you know, I have a bad feeling that we're going to be matched up. Our pod, when they expand, is going to be – I don't know. I feel like hope Auburn's not in there, man. I don't want to play Hugh Freeze every year.
What do you think it's going to be?
Hope they keep Vandy. Probably will be there.
Probably be Bama.
Well, you know they're not doing pods anymore.
Well, technically pods, but 3 permanent opponents.
Yeah.
I just call it pods to make it easier.
It'll be Vandy, Bama, and
Kentucky.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would take that. Would. Yeah.
Because they're not going to split up your in-state rivals.
They're not going to split up. They're going to put Georgia and Florida in those. They're going to put Auburn and Alabama, Ole Miss and Mississippi.
Yeah.
The people that are going to be on the outside are South Carolina.
Who's probably going to get Georgia or Florida.
Yep. And then you're going to have Kentucky on the outside, which is probably going to get us.
Well, let's talk about the rivalries that they're not going to break up. Obviously, Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Yep.
Alabama, Auburn.
Yep.
Georgia, Florida.
Yep.
Auburn, Georgia.
And now rivalry is renewed. Well, 2 rivalries, really. Texas A&M.
Yep.
Texas, Oklahoma. They're not going to split that one up.
Nope.
Texas and Arkansas.
Yep.
It's another one.
Like, that might be, like, you could almost pod that one because those guys
are
always
together.
What about Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Texas and Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Maybe not Oklahoma and Arkansas, but, I mean, definitely Texas and Arkansas.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Texas A&M, but that Texas-Arkansas rivalry, that goes back.
Probably put Missouri in there.
We saw it last year.
That's a team that's going to be on the outside.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. There's odd. But, I mean, the Texas-Arkansas game they played last year, they checkered their stadium. I mean, it felt like a big-time game to me.
I think you put Texas A&M LSU together.
I think – well, I know Alabama's is probably going to be Auburn, us, LSU, most likely.
Well,
LSU is probably going to play Florida every year still.
Yep. Yeah.
They're going to play Alabama every year. They're going to play I don't know. Maybe Auburn still. That's a tough.
So what do you do with Missouri?
They're awful. You just going to put Missouri, Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina in their own pod?
Just put the bottom feeders in there, man.
Yeah, just put them in their own thing and just have them beat the hell out of each other.
And then, I guess, what do you do at that point? You're not going to have division champs anymore. You're going to have to take the 2 best records in the conference and then put those in the SEC championship game.
So it's going to be a round robin like the Big 12 does?
Essentially.
Which is another thing, because if we were doing that format now, we would be playing Georgia for the SEC championship for a chance to get in the playoff.
Don't even get me started on the Vol for Lifers. Here we go. Why is LSU going to the SEC championship when we beat LSU? Well, there's these things called divisions. You have your East and your West, and Tennessee's in that East division, and Georgia's undefeated, and they're ahead of Tennessee. That's why they're ahead of us.
Yeah, use your brain, people. Use a little common sense, and there is such a thing called as Google to look these things up.
What time is the game on Saturday?
SEC championship.
Who's number 5? Who's our coach? How do you spell Heupel? What bowel game are we going to?
Bowel,
man.
I'm glad we lost. We needed to be humbled.
I don't get the obsession with the Sugar Bowl. I really don't. Especially this year at 11 a.m.
That ties into my point that I made on voluntary reaction.
It's at 11 a.m.?
It's an 11 a.m. game.
It's not a night game this year.
And it's the same day as the playoff, so they're going to play the Sugar Bowl in the morning and then the first game at 3:30, I would assume, and then the second game at 7:30 or 8.
Well, that ties back into what I was saying on Saturday, and that's the fact that games that we looked at as premier bowl games, because before we had the college football playoff, your BCS games, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl, and then you had your BCS National Championship game that started in 2008. Before that, it was those original 4 bowl games, and then the championship game alternated between each of those sites.
No, you're missing my point. I would take the Orange Bowl over the Sugar Bowl. I still think it's a huge deal, not to the players, but to us. I haven't seen Tennessee at a New Year's Six Bowl since I've been alive. So we're obviously going to be in one, but I would rather have the Orange Bowl. That's more, it's a night game. It's a Saturday night game, I'm pretty sure, or Friday, whatever
it is.
In Miami. You got Tennessee, Clemson. Like, the entire nation will watch that game. Like, it might be our most viewed game of the year, even over Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, and I mean, which that's the thing is, like, these games have been so far devalued.
I just want to beat Dabo Sweeney so bad. Make him flip those bogus.
Absolutely. So let me ask y'all this. Everyone crapped on my idea of the 32-team college football playoff.
Yep.
It's going to have to go to that eventually. Because guess what happens when you go to a 12-team playoff? What do you think anybody's going to think about any of these extra bowl games that are left out of that?
Well, isn't it kind of the same thing now, though? Because, like, we talked about it on break, but, like, Memphis and Florida are playing in the Birmingham Bowl.
Nobody's going to watch that game. Nobody cares about that game.
Yeah, so is it not the same thing as it is now if you're not in New Year's Six or the playoff? I mean, it's kind of pointless. Citrus Bowl, people care about that, I guess. But
I mean, if you go to a 32-team, then I guess people will watch it because it has implications on the next round. But, I mean,
it's going to create chaos, and you know what that's going to do? That will create more money, even though you don't have that extra round of 64. With those 32 teams, you create chaos. Every conference champion gets in, even your group of five schools.
I mean, and, you have Alabama playing, we play, Toledo?
Could be. Depends.
I mean,
I did everything from last year. I took the top 25, obviously, and your conference champions. And I put it all in a simulator. And then I had to put in a few at-large bids for, you know, like, teams that either didn't win their conference or were in the rankings. And I did a simulation. And it spits it in the computer. It spits out the analytics and does all that. Was that just showing?
It's showing Eric Ainge pick six in the 2007 SEC Championship game.
Of course it was. I just dropped my phone. But what you do there is you put it in the simulator, in the computer-generated system that I picked. UTSA, in the simulator, made it to the Elite Eight.
Hey, well, we play them after Florida this coming up year.
No, we play them before.
No, we don't.
Really?
Go look at it. It's Virginia, Austin Peay, at Florida, UTSA.
Look it up.
I'll get up.
All right, it's going to be a... It's going to be an interesting schedule next year. It's like Virginia should be a cakewalk.
I don't know. They're going to play inspired first game after their tragedy. But, I mean, I'm just – regardless of the tragedy, I'm so glad we did not hire Tony Elliott.
Absolutely. And one more thing before we head out of here. This is coming from Barrett Salee. Reports have said that Carnell Cadillac Williams will be retained by Hugh Freeze at Auburn.
Nice.
Someone had it wrong on Twitter.
What's that?
Davis was right.
I don't know. What are you talking about now?
Schedule.
We're talking about Carnell Williams. Yeah, who cares about the schedule, man? We're going to beat both those teams. Should.
We're going to win.
Good for Cadillac Williams.
Yeah, I mean, guy loves university. University loves him. And that's that was one thing I wanted to see this weekend was for Coach Cadillac to maybe pull out an upset against Alabama. I knew it probably wasn't going to happen. How awesome would that have been, though? That would have been so awesome to see.
Been pretty cool.
Very nice.
I mean, he might be their head coach right now. Who knows?
Yeah.
We will never know. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.